101 ESPN. This is the Fast Lane. Now, here's former guard Matt Holliday.
Holliday, a bouncer left side, and the Cardinals win at the bottom of the night.
As the guys get ready to dive deep into the cards.
Holliday, out to deep right. Yes!
Brought to you by Milliken Hand Rehabilitation Center. Regain your grip after injury. Expert hand and upper extremity therapy at two convenient locations.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter, and let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, joined by our guy, Matt Holliday, former Cardinal slugger, who joins us each and every week here in the Fast Lane. Matt, how you doing this week?
I'm good. I'm feeling that music right there, Meats. I felt like some lasers in there. That was nice.
Yes, I love it.
You should have seen, Matt, you should have seen Jamie's reaction. Jamie had the hips swerving,
the eyes bugging.
I mean, it was rough out here.
Oh, well, I'm sure that was a beautiful thing to watch.
All right, Matt. So we had our friendly wager about the fight, and I'm sure that you're thinking you're going to get your Wendy's and all that stuff now.
Yep.
But, I mean, it was a doctor stoppage, right? We could agree on that. Like, nobody really won that fight, right? No?
Oh, I think he got pummeled pretty much in the first round. I think you know, the whole, like, my leg was already broken. Like, I don't know what to believe with, you know, he's an unbelievable promoter. Now I'm going to have to pay $70 again to watch them fight for the fourth time. And I'll probably get another free Wendy's meal out of the deal. But I'm going to try to get $70 worth of Wendy's, which will probably put me in the coma. But, you know, I think we're definitely going to see it again. So we'll get another chance to wager.
Hey, Matt, we were trying to, like, determine what Matt Holliday would get at Wendy's.
Oh, yeah.
I said at least one Baconator. What are you ordering when you go to Wendy's, and what are you going to make Jamie pay you when he's going to pay up?
Honestly, I don't remember the last time I was at Wendy's. Like, I try to watch my diet pretty close.
You don't have to make me feel bad.
If I was just going to blow it out, I'd probably, the – what would you call it, a Baconator? There's a burger that has.
Oh, don't
a
act
of
like
bacon
you don't know, Matt.
Oh yeah,
come
it's a lot of bacon, Matt. It hence the name. I think you do just fine with the Baconator.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that. I do like a Frosty. I think that's all he was willing to give up for the stoppage, the doctor stoppage. So I'll take the 99-cent Frosty off the dollar menu, and we'll move on to the next wager.
Look, that's fair, right? And you'll pay the $70 again. Not only are you going to have to pay the $70,
though. I told Matt I have a guy, though.
Well, I was going to say he's going to have to pay the $70, then set up his iPad and FaceTime me at the same time. So I don't have to pay the $70.
Yes, I can
so
do that.
I appreciate that. Matt, what is this time like for and all players, honestly, but your guy, Nolan Arenado, you played in 7 All-Star games. I'm really interested in, with all the pomp and circumstance around the All-Star game, and I know that you guys, I mean, they ask you to be there for a little bit of everything, right? It probably doesn't feel like much of a break. What is Nolan feeling like right now?
Yeah, I think he just tried to come out of the 4 days feeling refreshed, a little bit refreshed. I think sometimes if you get, the first couple that I got a chance to go to, I even came out of the All-Star break like more tired than going into it. And Clint Hurdle did a great job of, he actually would give kind of the All-Star guys, he'd give them that first game off and kind of let them have a 2-day deal on the backside. But now, that was back when it was just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now I think every team gets 4 days, except, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox, who ultimately did get 4 days. But now it's every team gets 4 days. It's kind of nice that you get that Wednesday, Thursday off. And so I do think you can come out of it feeling better and more rested and then maybe in the past. But, yeah, I mean, I think you got to pace yourself. And if you try to do everything and try to go and be a part of all the different offerings that are part of the All-Star experience, then you can come out of that deal feeling like you didn't get a break at all. And so I'm sure Nolan, having done that a few times, is probably knows, kind of picks his spots on what to when to leave and kind of when to hang and when to kind of, you know, talk to the manager about how many at-bats and kind of know how to make sure that he comes back tonight feeling like he's refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah, Matt, that's kind of where I was heading. With all my All-Star appearances, they were always – why are you laughing?
No, I wanted to hear about it. I haven't heard these stories.
I made the American Hockey League All-Star game 2 years in a row, I'll have you know.
I'm sure
okay?
You did.
I was really
what's
good.
What's the American?
That's the minors. It's the minors,
okay.
Anthony.
All right.
Yeah, 2 years in a row. My rookie year and the next year was fantastic. I mean, they thought it would project to a really serious career. But it didn't, but that's
Jamie,
okay.
Jamie, you had a great career,
yeah,
man.
Just not all-star level. Anyways, Matt.
You were like Gretzky.
Well, I
played hockey.
I did play with him. But based upon the all-star game and what you're talking about, the you know Nolan pacing himself and all that stuff, and I know from teammates going to these things that there are a lot of demands, like you said, how much of that is mandatory? And how much of that is elective, right? Because I'm sure the league has certain things they want players to do. I'm sure the Cardinals club itself probably has certain promotions and maybe sponsorships. I mean, how much of that can Nolan Arenado control while he's there?
You know, honestly, Jamie, there's not a ton that's mandatory outside of, like, the practice day. You have to be there to kind of do the batting practice. And maybe there's a media availability time that you have to be at. And then, obviously, the game day, you have to kind of do the red carpet thing and then the game. But you don't have to stay. If you're not in the Home Run Derby, you don't have to stay the whole time. A lot of guys will take BP, kind of stick around for the first round and kind of just experience it and then go get a nice dinner with their family and try to get some sleep. They have the parties. You know, everybody has the all-star parties, every, you know, company. And so you can pick and choose, like, if you want to go to those. I never really went to many of that stuff because – like I said, I usually had my whole family there, and I wanted to kind of see everybody and have dinner with everybody and then try to get a reasonable amount of sleep. So I came out of the break feeling okay. But there's a lot of autographs to sign. They have a room full of, I don't know, it's a lot. I mean, it is a lot. And I did it. A lot of the guys didn't. They would sign a few things and then kind of disappear. But there is a lot of ask on the autograph end. But it's, you know, I don't think it's a, like I said, with the sponsors and all that stuff, it's not a ton of stuff. I mean, it's not as exhausting as somebody might think.
Matt Holliday joining us right now on the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. So Matt, tonight Cardinals, Giants, and Kevin Gausman has one of the nastier split fingers that you're going to see. I'm sure you faced Kevin Gausman before, but BT's got the numbers, in fact. You had a .429 batting average, and your OPS was over 1,000.
Yeah. BT, yes. Is that good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
Holy smokes. Okay, so.
I like that.
What's the scouting report tonight on Gausman? Do you just eliminate the split finger and try to attack, you know, his slider, his changeup?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to get the ball up. You can't swing at the ball down. I think for me with him in the past, and I think he's doing a better job of it this year, is he was the guy that had nasty stuff that would always throw one down the middle. He would, you know, he'd paint, and then just leave a hanging changeup, or he'd throw you a four-seamer early in the count right down the middle, and you had to be, you know, if you were ready for it, he'd give you a really good pitch to hit. I think he's doing a better job of not doing that, hence the ERA and the more success that he's had this year. But to me, he's a guy that you got to be ready for the fastball, and if you get late in the count, you're going to have to battle because his split that's a strike to a ball is kind of a nasty pitch. So you try to get him early in the count with his two pitches that aren't quite as good as his split, and see the ball up. You know, he's one of those guys that the split literally has to start at your chest for it to end up being a pitch that you can hit. And then that's the real hard part, really, you know, being convicted in your approach of if you see that split kind of rotation that you make sure that it's up if you're going to chase. So it's he's a guy that if you don't chase him and make him throw strikes, he can give up some runs. But if you chase the zone, he's going to be very difficult.
Matt, do you have a guy that you can think of, like the best split you've seen? We're actually seeing like the split come back in vogue a little bit, or it's been at least a highly effective pitch here for some guys recently, but Gausman throws it the most. Do you have a guy that you remember facing and say, golly, I can't even pick that thing up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the early guys, you know, a lot of the Asian guys that came over were featured in the split, and it was kind of, you don't see it very often, so it's one of those things where you feel better about it the second or third time you face them, just because you start to recognize the spin is much different. You had the guys that threw the kind of the fosh, kind of that changeup where it's more of their middle two fingers that they're splitting apart, that they kind of had some down action on the changeup. I think Zach Greinke throws something like that that's very firm, that's kind of like a split. I would say his changeup, to me, comes to mind of a guy that it's kind of hard to pick up, that it acts like a split finger. So there's kind of a different variations of a split these days. But just like a true fork ball, you know, a lot of the Asian guys threw those, that were over here. So that was those are the guys that, you know, kind of, it was kind of a different, some guys split finger just kind of plays like a changeup. It's just a slower, it doesn't have a ton of depth to it. So there's kind of different ones to it. As you know, Brad, it's kind of a pitch where, if you've got really big fingers and you can, you know, get that real wide split, you can get a little more of a fork ball kind of rotation. And then, you know, the other guys are just kind of splitting off their fastball and trying to take some speed off of their fastball and treating it more like a changeup.
I guess I could never throw a split. I got otter paws.
He was looking at his hands, Matt, when you were talking, and he goes, well, you know.
If you had real pitcher hands, I feel like that would be a really good thing. Matt, shifting gears quickly.
Otter paws.
Yeah, they are tiny. Like, you ever seen the commercial with I think it was a Coca-Cola where the little otters like holding the Coke?
I thought that's
now
just
I'm
making time for the
you
bill.
With little otter hands. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just the otter paws.
Then Jamie looked, Matt, then Jamie looked at his hand, and because he played hockey for so long, he's got a bent pinky.
It looks like a shrimp. Like a shrimp cocktail. I had the tendons ripped out trying to hold a guy's right hand and crushing my face in.
You should look at this thing, Matt. It is. Hey, did you ever see like Torrey Holt's hands?
No.
His fingers are like sideways. It's kind of like looking at
embarrassing. That's all.
Yeah.
Dude, Torrey Holt used to do some TV stuff, Matt, and he would speak with his hands sometimes.
Oh, no.
And it was like, oh, God, put him down. Put him down, Torrey.
He gets to bed.
Yeah, fingers are pointing different directions. It was crazy. Hey, I want to go back quickly to a conversation we were having a couple of weeks ago, right, about you. We were talking about, like, hitting coaches and approaches, and you would talk about how, like, your approach would be, hey, talking to guys when things are going right and knowing how what they're feeling and what they're thinking when they're clicking. I was just thinking about this earlier today. I was reading a piece at the Post-Dispatch that Derek Gould did, and he was talking to a former Cardinal farmhand and now the hitting coach for the Giants, Donnie Ecker, and he was talking about a hitter's, like, basically every hitter has their North Star, right? Like, their guiding light. And I was just thinking, like, through your experience of you, obviously you know your swing very well, and throughout the years of your teammates, does everybody have that guiding light, or do you talk to some teammates that are just like, yeah, I'm just feeling it right now, and like, can't, because it's hard to find something that's not tangible, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a, you know, some guys that I played against, you know, Miguel Cabrera comes to mind, where I would want to try to pick his brain about hitting, and he really was like, you know, kind of had a hard time explaining what he was doing. Like, he just kind of naturally just hitting, you know, and some of the guys, you know, they just kind of, it was more natural for them than others, where, you know, some guys had maybe a bad mechanic growing up and they had to make a big change. And, you know, you're talking about like a guy like JD Martinez, who was on his way out of the game and got really into the mechanics and started looking at what all the great hitters were doing and started really analyzing everything he was doing, from his cage work to his batting practice. He was videoing it all and breaking it down and very methodical about how he was thinking about his mechanics, and could talk to you about it, and was very good at explaining kind of the transition and what he was doing. So it's a lot of both, Brad. I think there's a lot of guys that, you know, are just kind of natural and go off their feel. I think when it comes to approach, I think everybody, you better have an approach, whether you're going to stay in the off gap, or, you know, you're going to try to get up on the plate and pull the ball, or, you know, the old see the ball, hit the ball sounds good in theory, but if you don't have a specific approach in mind where you're swinging, you're chasing both sides of the plate, and you're swinging it breaking balls, and you're just, you know what, I'm just kind of looking for a ball to hit, and I'm going to hit it. Like, that sounds good, but I don't think that that's actually effective in the major leagues. And so I think everybody has a, when they're going good, would tell you a very specific plan of what they're doing. And I think a lot of times when we're going bad, we're thinking about our mechanics. There's intrusive thoughts of what am I doing with my hands, or what am I doing with my leg, and how am I timing, and where is this and where is that? This feels wrong. This feels right. There's too many thoughts, but I think the approach of the aggressive mindset of what you're trying to do to the pitch is really the only way to have success, to where you free your mind up to recognize pitches and be on time and to do damage. And so I think that everybody has a good plan when they're doing well. But I do think that there's guys that don't know much about mechanics. Like, they're kind of just doing it, and they don't know how they're doing it or why they're doing it, but, you know, they're doing it. And so I don't know if that – does that answer your question?
Yeah, for sure. I talked around that a little bit.
I think it's great. I do think there's a lot of guys that have studied the mechanic of it, and that's a very important part of what they're doing. Just like there's a lot of guys that don't want to talk about mechanics because it kind of screws them up.
Now, to your point, I remember talking to Dunk back in the day, Matt, and he said at one point he's kind of saddled up to Larry Walker in the mm-hmm. outfield. And he was trying to ask Larry, trying to pick his brain about hitting. And I guess Larry looked at Dunk and he goes, I'll tell you anything you want to know about defense. He goes, I'll give you all the mechanics. He goes, don't ask me about hitting. All I do is go up there and just, it's all about feel. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how Larry Walker was. So when you talked about that with like picking Vladimir Guerrero's brain, it's kind of similar. So no, that makes a lot of sense, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like I said, there's different, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's the same in all the sports where, you know, some different things make guys tick or make them, you know, it really puts them in a good space in your mind about where you want to be. And if thinking about mechanics is not, you know, not good for you, then, you know, you just, or some guys don't like to watch video. You know, some guys, you know, if they watch video, it's over, you know, paralysis by analysis. They start to think too much and they start to watch themselves and you know, they just need to feel it in a cage. And then there's other guys that can watch themselves and spot something and go, oh, that's off.
It makes sense, Matt, for sure. Matt, we love chatting with you each and every week, and we'll make sure that Jamie pays up on that Baconator, all right?
Yeah, I can't wait. When I come to St. Louis, I'm coming looking for you, Jamie. We're going to Wendy's, and I'll just get the 99-cent Frosty until we get the next fight.
Well, apparently you've seen my paycheck, so I appreciate that very much, Matt.
Matt, have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys, thanks.